So this brings us to week 6 in development. And having had so much detail to now in all of these other systems, I thought you need a little bit of a breathing space, something easy to take on. It's not going to take up too much of your mind. So I thought, why don't we just focus on a particular system in week 6 and talk about what occurs there. So this is the 6th week in development. Stage 16. This is what it looks like on the outside. We can see the upper limb and the lower limb. Notice it's more than a bud now. We can see that at the end of the limb we've got a big paddle-like structure. And this paddle-like structure will eventually form our hand. But right now there's no digits on it. We need to sculpt the hand back to form digits. Notice as well by this week in development, we can no longer easily see the pharyngeal arches. These features we can actually see here on the surface of the embryo at about the levels where we saw the arches before are actually the precursors to the external ear that will form. So that's the localization of where your ear begins, down in the neck region there. You can see that the face has begun to develop. We've now got structures contributing to the lower jaw and the upper jaw and around the front area of the face, and we can see the nasal and optic regions forming. This indentation on the surface, this obvious indentation that we can see in this 6th week of development, is the nasolacrimal duct forming. The bit that when you cry means that you manage to fill up your nose full of liquid because it runs down into the middle conchae of the nose, the nasolacrimal duct. Still got a large heart fold here, and now you can see the umbilical region where we know the placental vessels are running out, we know the connection to the yolk sac, and now the gut will also be looping out through there as well. And slightly later in development, we can now see the external ear forming, the paddle, and the difference between the upper and lower limb bud. That's the outside surface of the embryo. Inside, there is a functional change occurring about now, and that is that we're beginning to activate the embryonic endocrine system. And so many of the features of early development of the endocrine organs have begun. We can see a pituitary gland begin to form from two different origins, anterior from the oral cavity, posterior from the neural tube, contributing to the pituitary. We can see the primordia of the parathyroids forming, the organ that regulates calcium homeostasis in the body. The thymus begins to form. And the thymus is an important organ for the embryo because it's got a role in hematopoiesis, that is, blood formation in the embryo. Before you've got long bones and bone marrow in which your Before you've got long bones and bone marrow, before you've got a location to put your blood stem cells, you need to put them somewhere. So they live in halfway houses on their way to the bone marrow when it forms. They're initially in the liver and the thymus and the spleen. These are where the stem cells live until we form the musculoskeletal system. And then we also get the adrenal gland beginning to form. The medullary portion of the adrenal gland comes from neural crest in origin. Some of these endocrine organs have quite important developmental roles, and I've left thyroid off there. I'll put it on there later on today. I don't know why I've left it off, but the thyroid gland is also forming. And we now know that the fetal endocrine system is important for normal development. So we need fetal thyroid hormone for normal brain development. Just like our folate, if we live in an environment which is very low in iodine, the mother doesn't have a lot of iodine in her diet, she's unable therefore to provide iodine to the fetus. And the fetus is then unable to make what hormone? Thyroid hormone. So we need thyroid hormone for brain development. And low thyroid hormone from the fetus will lead to cretinism or lack of nervous system development. And one of the major roles currently in the third world is to supplement foods with iodine in order to allow normal neural growth in geographic areas low in iodine. So thyroid hormone is important. We know that the HPA axis is activated in the fetus. So we're not quite clear yet about what its overall role is, but certainly an intact endocrine system is required for normal development. Some of these glands change substantially. And my example here would be the adrenal gland. Even though it begins to form at this time, its cortex is a fetal cortex, which is replaced by the adult cortex later in development. And the adrenal gland continues to develop postnatally. So the adrenal cortex continues to develop postnatally after birth. So it has a long time course of development. So a lot of these organs beginning to form, beginning to function. The pancreas will also begin to be switched on. And pancreatic hormones beginning to be secreted. So in week 7, we see the pancreas turning on. It's part of the gastrointestinal tract development. As you know, the pancreas has two major roles, an exocrine role for digestion, an endocrine role for regulation of glucose levels. And in week 7, we begin to see the pancreatic islets, or the islets of Langerhans, begin to form within the pancreas. Its exocrine function won't be activated until postnatally because you're not eating anything yet. So its proteolytic enzymes aren't required. But the islets begin to form and they continue to develop between weeks 7 to 20. And during this time, they can be affected by maternal effects as well. So we know that mothers with pre-existing diabetes and unregulated glucose levels can drive growth of the fetus. And so mothers who have diabetes tend to have very large infants. This high level as well can also affect development of the pancreatic islets in the fetus and alter the development of the fetus. This hormone's required for growth within the fetus, and we do know that small amounts of maternal insulin can also gain access to the fetus as well. There's another consideration in that the load that the fetus puts upon the mother during pregnancy can lead to a type of diabetes specific to pregnancy called gestational diabetes. And this often resolves itself at the end of pregnancy. In a few instances, it might continue on afterwards. The mother, of course, has to have a reasonable resistance to high glucose levels in order to have that higher level during a pregnancy anyway. So what else occurs during week 7 in development? And in week 7, which and beginning a little bit earlier, we get ossification processes starting. So week 5 through 6 and 7 is really the earlier stages where we can see ossification. And you've had this in histology already, so I won't go through the fine details of it. But this is a developing knee. And you're probably aware already that the entire skeleton of our embryo will initially be formed as cartilage. So anywhere where there's a bone within the embryo, except for in the head, there'll be a deposition of cartilage in the region and the approximate shape, little miniature version of that bone in cartilage. As the cartilage begins to die and degenerate, it releases growth factors which attract blood vessels into the region of the cartilage. And with these blood vessels along come bone stem cells, and bone will begin to be deposited. So this is a bony collar that forms at the site of where the blood vessels coming in, and we can see the beginning of the bony spicules forming bone, replacing the cartilage. And they'll continue to proliferate towards the cartilage, replacing it, leaving just a thin veneer in the adult of cartilage on the surface, the articular surface of the bone. This process of ossification is not completed by birth. So the bones continue to ossify postnatally. And in particular, we know that the long bones at puberty are stimulated to grow again at the regions of the epiphyseal plate, and that growth of the skeleton only ceases when all of the cartilage is depleted from the epiphyseal plate region of the long bones, and we ossify that region, leaving an epiphyseal line in the long bones. So this occurs about early to mid-20s is when this process will be over and done with. This process of replacing cartilage with bone is endochondral ossification, beginning in the embryo. I've given you a histological diagram of it here. You should have done it previously, whereby we replace the cartilage with bone. The second ossification process that occurs mainly in the cranial vault regions of the skull, maybe the scapula as well, and that is where we don't have a template of cartilage existing, where this skull is going to be. All we've got there is a membranous region where the bone will form. And so we get ossification of membrane, and so this is intramembranous ossification, and it occurs in the cranial vault or the skull plates that enclose the brain. Two major forms of ossification. One requires a cartilage template, the other is straight from the membrane. And if we look at the fetus, as we'll come back to in the next class, when the skull forms, the entire skull actually has two separate forms of ossification occurring within it. These are the plates covering the brain. And anywhere where we see red in this histological stain of a 12-week fetus is where we can find bone. So we can see the bony jaw, you can see the indentations in the jaw for the teeth, and we can see the mandible and maxillary regions of the jaw. All of this bone. In the cranial vault regions, you can see these fine finger-like or spider-like projections of bone extending out, and this is how the early intramembranous ossification is occurring in that region. And it remains unossified at the suture regions between the individual plates. It's still fibrous there at birth. So all of the cranial vault, intramembranous. The lower skull, or the platform on which the skull sits, the blue colour indicates cartilage. And you can see the cartilage of the nasal septum here in the nose region, and the cartilage forming the base of the skull and the vertebral elements forming down here. So all of this region, the base of the skull, ossifies by endochondral ossification, replacement of that cartilage with bone. So in the head region, two forms of ossification occurring. We'll also see this ossification process occurring within the limbs, but I'll talk more about the limbs in the last week of development. So I'll stop there and give you a chance to ask questions about week 6 and 7. As I said, it was meant to give you a bit of a breather before we rush for week 8.